I was asked to speak at a homeschool graduation not too long ago. And first they had a talent show that took a little while, or lack of talent show, it depends on. Now, most of them were very talented and some had a lot of potential. And then we had a little dinner together, that was nice. And then we had our graduation ceremony for the kindergartners and those that had graduated from eighth grade. Natalie, my daughter, was part of that. And so they asked me to say something, and they were running a little late, and so they said, we want you to speak on the love of God, and can you please do that in 15 minutes? Well, I said, well, it's quite an order. I could probably talk on the love of God for much longer than that. And so I had to try to do that in 15 minutes, and I have to try to do it in 15 minutes again. But that's a wonderful subject, and already the Holy Spirit has introduced that to us tonight. And that's a good way to start. It's a good foundation to build on. The love of God. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. It's one of the first songs we learn when we're in Sunday school. I read to them that poem, just part of that poem. The most important lessons in life I learned in kindergarten. You ever hear that poem? I learned to share, not to hit, and all those great lessons that you learn in kindergarten that you really carry on through life. Sometimes I'm teaching my girls, and I'm trying to teach them math, and we're trying to figure out what in the world are we going to do with this in our life when school is over, or maybe it's some other subject, and you wonder about that. Well, why do I need to learn this? What good is that going to do me? Well, just the process of learning is the good that it's going to do you, I'm sure. But the simple lessons seem to be the most significant. And right at the start, we go to church and we learn that Jesus loves me, for the Bible tells me so. And our children grow up believing that Jesus loves them. They know it. But do they really believe it? And that's what the challenge that comes into all of our lives. We know that Jesus loves us because the Bible tells us so. We've heard it all our lives. But there comes a time in your life when you have to ask yourself, do I really believe it? And sometimes it's in your teen years, you're challenged in some way. Something comes into your life that is difficult for you, and you begin to question, does he really love me? Do I really believe that he loves me? I know the Bible says so, but in my life right now, do I really believe that? Sometimes people come to you and say, well, if God is love, why does he let these things happen in the world? I suppose we've all grappled with that type of question. We read something in the paper or hear something of some catastrophe or tragedy that has taken place, and then we begin to question, well, I know that God is love. The Bible says that God is love and that he loves me. But if God is love, why does he allow that to happen? And people have that question. We as Christians sometimes struggle with that a little bit. And we have to look to the Lord, and we have to ask God to help us to believe in his love. When people ask me that question, I don't know exactly how to answer that. Why did he let this tsunami hit or that or so on? And I can tell them about, the broken world in which we live, and, that we all have free will, and God didn't send that, the devil was behind that, and so on. And, none of those answers satisfy people completely. Because we can't explain that. That's really beyond our comprehension. So I like to ask them another question. Jesus, sometimes they asked him a question, and so he answered with a question. And so I thought, well, maybe that's I can try that. So then I would say to them, well, I don't know exactly how to answer your question, but answer mine. If God isn't love, then why would he send his own son to suffer such agony, come into this sin-cursed world so that he could save you? Think about that for a moment. And then we find ourselves, well, I don't understand some things about the love of God, that's for sure. But I can't deny that God is love when I consider the fact that he sent his only begotten Son to come into this world for me, to live the life that God required of me to live, to die the death that I deserved to die, and then to be resurrected and raised for my justification, and then to come and live in my heart and fill me with himself and call me to walk with him. That's a love that I can't comprehend. And I can't understand that. I can't understand why God would love me like that and why he would reach out to me as he does if he wasn't love. And so I find myself in a quandary. But one thing is sure. I know that God loves me. And now I have to learn to believe in that. I have to learn to believe in the love of God. To put my trust in the fact that he loves me. And to open my heart to his love. And we go through trials in our life, and that's the time when we're tested. That's the time when we have to believe in God's love. When it doesn't look like our circumstances are very loving. And when we don't understand why this has been allowed or that has taken place, that's when we need to ask the Holy Spirit to give us faith to believe in the love that Christ has for us. And you know, God does that for us. He makes that love very precious to us. And we find that when we get into difficult situations, although we can't comprehend with our natural mind why things are going the way they are, yet there's something within us that has a hold of us. It's that love of Christ, and we can't deny that. We can't deny that in the face of anything. We can't deny the love that God has for us. And so we say, Lord, I'm going to just trust in your love, and I'm going to just yield myself to you and commit everything to you, and know that you have a loving purpose to fulfill in my life, and you use all these things. I've told a story, a sister in church told something of this, that there was a woman that just, she spoke about the love of God, and she spoke as though she was the only one in the world that God loved. She would talk to her co-workers about how much God loves her. She prayed about something, and God answered that prayer. And then she prayed about something else, and then all of a sudden this happened, and that's just her Heavenly Father showing her how much he loves her and how precious she is to him. And one of the co-workers got fed up with her and said, you know, this is nonsense what you're saying. That's just coincidence. You know, something happens and, you know, it's just a coincidence. It's not an answer to prayer. It's not God telling you anything. And so he said, so the next time she testified, she got up and said, I want to thank God. He loves me so much that every time I have a problem, he sends a coincidence. And that coincidence comes from him, and it's just because he loves me. Well, they didn't know what to do with her, so they just let her enjoy God's love. And I guess that's the best thing. We have to do that. We have to learn to trust in his love. And maybe some of you are challenged that way coming up to camp. I don't know what has transpired in your life this year. And what challenges you faced, difficulties. My dad's not well. Many of you know him. He's dealing with dementia, Alzheimer's, and we try to help him. And some days are easier than others. And sometimes he himself questions, why did God allow this to happen? I've served him, and so on. But you know, even more than the healing that we look for the love of God and the presence of God to be manifest in his life day by day. That's much more important than even the healing. Just that in the midst of his trial, he can receive comfort in the knowledge that Jesus is with him and that he's caring for him and he loves him and he's... He's working out His will in His life. And so we get together, and I'll bring my guitar out there, and every once in a while we'll start to play some songs, and he remembers all the hymns, and he knows some hymns that I don't know. And after we sing a little bit, the presence of the Lord just comes into the room, and then he just worships the Lord, and he begins to talk about how good God is. And he tells me about when he first got saved, and he thanks God for Aunt Lucy and Aunt Grace, who used to take him to church. They'd invite him over for dinner, and they knew that if him and his brother came to dinner, they'd have to end up going to church afterwards. But he's so glad that they roped him into it, because there he found Jesus, and his life has never been the same. And then he begins to talk about the Lord like that, and I like that. And that presence lingers, keeps him in peace, and we have to do that every so often. And I always bring my guitar out there because he likes to sing, and that seems to bring him into the presence of God. You know, but I realize that that's more important, to believe in God's love and experience His presence in his life, even more than the healing that we're looking for and would love to see. You know, people can be healed, and if they don't have that sense of God's love and His presence, well, they're no better really for it. They'll just go on living in their doubts and so on. But Jesus can make Himself very precious to us in our times of trial because He loves us. And I often tell people in our church when they're sick and they're looking for healing, or they are in trouble and they're looking for God to answer their prayer and help them, I'll say, now listen, we're going to believe God for that. We have every right to believe Him for that. But until the answer comes, don't deny yourself the blessing of His presence and the blessing of His love. Reach out for that every day. Lord, if the answer doesn't come today, I know that You're with me and You're going to carry me through, and I'm going to enjoy Jesus today. You know, so often we're so interested in the answer to our prayer that that's all we're concerned about. And Jesus wants to come to us every day and help us and carry us. And we don't look for that at all. We're just looking for that answer. And we deny ourselves some of the sweetest blessings that Jesus has for us, even in those times of suffering and trial. And so we ought to believe in the love that God has for us. And that's what John said in the first letter of John. He said, we have come to know and to believe the love that God has toward us. And I'm asking myself and you tonight, have we gotten that far? Oh, we know He loves us. The Bible tells us so. But do we really believe it? God wants us to believe it. And He can give us that faith. God, put faith into my heart for what You want. We have to look to Jesus for our faith. And He'll minister that to us. Just one closing thought yet. And that is, years ago, Brother Hans Waldfogel, you've heard that name. His picture is in the room there. And he was the founding pastor of the Ridgewood Church and of camp here and so on. And he was ministering in Germany, and maybe you've heard this story. After World War II, Germany was really plundered, and people lost everything. So many people suffered such tremendous loss through that war. There was a man that was on his way to commit suicide, and that was very common in those days. They'd jump into the river, jump off a bridge, and end it all. They saw that they had nothing else to live for. And so he was out there on the street corner with a group of believers, and they were having a street meeting. And he was preaching on that passage in Matthew 13, where we read about the man that found a treasure in the field, sold everything that he had, bought that treasure, and then he bought the field, and then he owned the treasure. Or the merchant man that was looking for valuable pearls, and he found a pearl of great price, and he sold everything that he had to purchase that pearl. And Brother Hans Waldfogel, as he was preaching, he said, you know, you're that pearl of great price. Now, most people, when they preach on that subject, they'll say that Jesus is that pearl of great price, and we give up everything for Him, and it's more than worth it. And there's certainly a truth to that. But he turned it around and he interpreted it differently. He said, God, looking down into this world, he saw you, and you were so precious to him that he was willing to sell everything and give up everything to come down into this sin-cursed world to purchase you so that you would be his and belong to him. And so Jesus left heaven, and he came and he humbled himself. He became a man, and he served here, and he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And he paid the ultimate price to purchase you. And you're that pearl. You're precious in his sight. And that man, on his way to commit suicide, the Lord spoke to him that if he is precious to God like that, then it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks of him. All that matters is that he's precious to God, and that God has a purpose for his life. And he was spared that night because he found out that Jesus loved him and that he was precious to him. And so we ought to think about that. Lord, I'm precious to you like that. You gave up everything in order to purchase me and make me your child. And so, Lord, just help me to embrace that truth. And Lord, I pray that day by day that somehow I'll be brought deeper into the love of Christ, and his love will find a greater place in my life. Praise God. Let's sing another song about the love of Jesus, and then we'll be dismissed. Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? That's number 447. Perhaps you'd like to stand as we sing. 447. Then after this song, we'll pray, and then I would ask for the guests to please leave quietly so that they can start their staff meeting immediately after. Okay. 447.
Might be very conscious that we are your children. Take great joy and comfort in that truth. that you love us. We pray for your presence now as we dismiss and we change the order of this service.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. God bless you.